I made a video recently on two things your vet doesn't want you to know. Very quickly, I will say that some vets don't want you to know that, or they don't know themselves, that the list in hypoallergenic ingredients, the list in hypoallergenic foods, the list of ingredients has never been defined. And so manufacturers take advantage of this and they put wheat, barley, rice, sugar, and subpar ingredients such as animal fats, which are unspecific, and things like meat and animal derivatives, which again are unspecific. So let's say you have a dog with an allergy, with a potential protein allergy, and we are giving the dog sugar and we are giving the dog animal fat. We do not really know what we are giving the dog, so we cannot eliminate one or the other protein. That's why we are so against hypoallergenic foods and prescription foods, because the list of ingredients is very vague. And the second thing your vet doesn't want you to know in the video that I made was that some of these subscriptions to flea and tick and worm the dog with tablets or with other prescription tablets or drugs are very unnecessary. Dogs are pets. Most of them are pets and they live with us. They do not live in the wild, and they do not undertake the sort of tasks that would expose them to worms or to other stuff. So I don't think you should flea and worm your dog every month, and that's not necessary. So those are two things your vet doesn't want you to know, and these are some comments that I received. And you can ask questions in the link below. You can ask questions through our social media and we will endeavor to reply in a timely manner. So the first thing I want to say is again that most dogs are pets and they live with us and not outdoors. So if your dog is not exposed to worms, if your dog is not exposed to fleas or ticks, what is the need, I think, to flea and worm the dog on a monthly basis? That will put unnecessary pressure in the dog's pancreas, in the dog's liver, which will have to break down those tablets and those medicines. And it's just not the best, because they are not very well equipped to break down medicine, the dogs, at the end of the day. So that's the first comment. So comment number one from Foster Kittens on Instagram. Prescription diets work amazingly for so many people and their pets. Literally, who cares if it has some sugar in it? It works, it's balanced and beneficial for the pet. Thank you so much for the question, Foster Kittens. I could not disagree more. Prescription diets are a bit of a farce, and I'll tell you why. For example, if we prescribe a cat sugar or any other high glycemic carbohydrate, we know that cats are obligate carnivores. They do not have any dietary requirements for carbohydrates whatsoever, let alone sugar. So whenever we put sugar in hypoallergenic food and then give it to the cat from a prescription diet that some vet has recommended, we know biologically that cats do not produce something called hepatic glucokinase in their pancreas and liver, which is an enzyme that breaks down glucose, is a pathway that breaks down glucose. So giving your cat sugar or any other high glycemic carbohydrate goes against what your cat is made for and needs to do. It's something your cat is not prepared, well equipped to do at all, and it's detrimental to your cat's health. So whenever you say, who cares if it has some sugar in it, well, I don't like giving my dog or cat sugar. So if you are happy giving your dog sugar or your cat sugar, then be my guest. But that's just not what you should be doing. And let me read you two different brands. These are both hypoallergenic foods, and these are are both prescription diets, and the again, it's just horrible. So meat and animal derivatives, your guess is as good as mine as to what it contains. The second one is cereals. Why are we giving our dogs or cats cereals? Then we have various sugars and egg derivatives, oils and fats. Again, meat and animal derivatives, fish and fish derivatives, cereals, various sugars. I don't think there's a good excuse or a good argument for giving a cat various sugars. I'm sorry. And then we have maize starch, which is a high glycemic carbohydrate, hard for dogs and cats to digest, hydrolyzed soya protein, minerals, coconut oil, and sugar, that we have the sugar again, and rapeseed oil. So I'm not really sure what we are giving the dog or cat maize starch and sugar. Again, they are not very well equipped to breaking down all these ingredients, so I wholeheartedly disagree. Thank you for the question. The second question is Amy on Facebook. What alternative wormer and flea prevention do you recommend, please? Well, Amy, thank you for the question. My approach to worming and fleeing my dog and my cat is, do I see the fleas and do I see the worms? My dog and my cat live with me. They live in my house. We go, me and my dog, for walkies. The dog gets walks, and we are not very adventurous, to be perfectly honest with you. Sometimes we will go out for long walks, and if you take the dog out for a long walk, then you will have to be a bit more wary on the dog catching ticks or fleas. But it's, do you see them? If you see them, then apply the treatment. If you don't see them, don't apply the treatment. How often would you flea and worm the dog or the cat? I'm not against treatments. I'm not against tablets. I'm not one of those people. I just think that fleeing and worming your dog or cat every month is unnecessary, and it's adverse to your dog or cat's health. So that's where I sit on it. What alternative? I don't propose any alternatives whatsoever. I am a believer in medicine, and I believe wormers and flea prevention treatments do work. I just think that maybe once, twice a year, do you see the worms? Do you see the fleas? Do you see the ticks? If you do, you apply the treatment. If you don't, you don't apply the treatment. It's just a bit like ibuprofen or paracetamol. If you have a headache, you have a paracetamol tablet. If you don't, you don't take a paracetamol tablet. You don't prevent your headache with a paracetamol tablet. It's the other way around. That's my approach to it. So thank you for the question. The third question is Siliasi from Instagram. I feed my puppy vegetables and black soldier flies and eggshell and spirulina. Also chicken stock. I rarely give real meat, almost never. What do you think? Thank you so much for the question. Well, we did a video on feeding your dog or cat vegetables. And remember that any vegetable or any carbohydrate you feed the dog will convert into sugar, will be metabolized into glucose in order for that sugar to be utilized as energy in the pancreas and liver by the body. So the problem with dogs and cats is that they actually make their own blood sugar from meat and fat in a process called gluconeogenesis. They utilize proteins and fats very, very efficiently, and that's how they get blood sugar, their own blood sugar. So anytime you feed your dog rice or wheat or bread or vegetables, that's not really necessary to the dog. Now, there is an argument that some amount of vegetables, a very small amount of vegetables, could be beneficial to the dog because they can actually digest it. Not cats, but dogs. Still, if you are feeding your dog any other stuff and then vegetables on top, I'm not a fan of that. But a little bit of vegetables, I'm not against it. Black soldier flies. I mean, this is the industry sometimes takes turns and tries to sell you something else. And if you think about it, dogs aren't really biologically designed to catch and eat flies. Dogs are predators or scavenging carnivores. You can, you know, it, depending on what sort of dog you are talking about, but they are much more biologically inclined to eat chicken or beef or any of these meats rather than frogs or soldier flies. So if you want to feed your puppy black soldier flies, then be my guest, but I would just feed the dog chicken, or I would just feed the dog a good diet. And then eggshell, that is wonderful, phenomenal source of calcium, and spirulina, yen, great. Also chicken stock, I rarely give real meat, almost never. I don't really like that. I think you should be feeding your dog real meat. That's what dogs are designed to eat. I am a little bit concerned that you are DIYing the food like many other people. And many other people DIY the food and they are stewards of their dog's diet. And they miss the whole point of DIYing the food and they end up not providing what the dog needs. You do not provide the dog any liver, you don't provide the dog any offal, and you do not provide the dog with much bone, just eggshell as a replacement to dog bone. So my advice would be to give your dog a complete food, buy a complete food, buy a raw complete food, buy a kibble which is complete, buy a high meat, low carbohydrate kibble, and then you are not having to catch the black soldier flies, cook the vegetables or give them raw, and then chicken stock and eggshells and spirulina. There's too many things going on in your dog's diet where you can just buy something ready-made that contains the 80-10-10, or should try to mimic the 80-10-10, where 80% is lean meat, 10% is offal, 5% of that offal is liver, give or take, and 10% is bone. So if you buy something already made, that's probably the best option for your dog. Thank you so much for the question. We are going to close out with a fun fact of the day, and that is that the Labrador Retriever has been on the American Kennel Club top 10 most popular dog breeds list for longer than any other breed. And this doesn't really surprise me, because Labrador Retrievers tend to be one of the most popular, one of the most loving, one of the best first-time pets you can get. They will love you to death. They will be easy to train if you decide to train them, and they will bring you a lot of happiness. So I am not surprised about this fact on the Labrador Retriever. What do you think? If you have any questions, please let us know down in the comments. We will endeavor to reply to them in a timely manner. So thank you so much for watching.